Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Leroy Imes writes this: "One spring, my wife and I were driving from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa, Florida. As far as the eye could see, orange trees were loaded with fruit," he said. "When we stopped for breakfast, I ordered orange juice with my eggs. The waitress said, 'I'm sorry, I can't bring you orange juice. Our machine is broken.' At first," he said, "I was dumbfounded. We're surrounded by millions of oranges, and I knew they had oranges in the kitchen because orange slices garnished our plates. Juice was not the problem. We were surrounded by thousands of gallons of juice. The problem was they had become dependent on a machine to get it." Believers are sometimes like that. They might be surrounded by Bibles in their homes and in their libraries, but if something should happen to the Sunday morning service, they would have no nourishment for their souls. The problem is not a lack of spiritual food, but that many believers depend on others and don't know how to get it for themselves. God wants us to know Him. We know Him by His Word. He's given us His Word so that we may grow in our knowledge of Him for ourselves. And by the Holy Spirit's ministry, as we depend on Him by faith, He enlightens us to His Word as we spend time with His Word, that we might know the Lord more and more deeply in our relationship with Him. We don't get zapped with understanding and knowledge in anything in life. It takes time to learn things, whether it's the things that we learn at school or on the job, in our hobbies, and just about life in general in this world. We grow in our knowledge and our understanding. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's the same way with our knowledge and understanding of the Bible. It takes time. But the sad thing is that many don't have the patience with God's Word to learn and grow that they might give to other things that they prioritize in life. But as we patiently, faithfully, consistently spend time with God's Word, we will grow, and our knowledge and understanding will increase, and we will go deeper and deeper into the glories of knowing God and knowing His character, His nature, His plan and His purposes and His will for our life. Psalm 119:17-18 says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." As we continue in our walk through Psalm 119, we find that the writer enjoys the word and doing God's will so much that he now asks as a blessing from God for life. He says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." So he asks that he might continue to have many years to live by the word and to do his will. It shows how much he delights in the word of God. And he asks for another blessing, that God would open his eyes, that God would enlighten him to his word, so he might grow and see God's wondrous blessings. The writer asks to know by God's enlightenment and by God opening his spiritual eyes to see wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist lived under the law. The word that he had was the law. That was the dispensation that he lived under and the word that he lived by for the daily ordering of his actions and responsibilities before God. The principle of enlightenment, it's true, though, for us, too, is when we open God's Word, we should pray a prayer like that, too. "Open thou mine eyes, that we might see and understand the wondrous things from God's Word rightly divided." We should ask for God to open our eyes to understand that we are under grace and not under law, and that we need to rightly divide the Word of truth. 1 Corinthians 2 has much to say about illumination and being illuminated to what God is doing today under grace through the revelation of the mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10 reads, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Paul says that he speaks the wisdom of God in a mystery. The term mystery doesn't mean what you think when you normally think of the word mystery in our vernacular. Mystery is the word mysterion in the Greek, and it means to shut the mouth. Mystery doesn't imply anything that's cultic or puzzling or like a labyrinth or a maze where you've got to sort your way on a quest for the wisdom of God. It doesn't mean that at all. The word mystery means a secret which is absolutely impossible for man to know, something man cannot or could not know, something unavailable until God opened his mouth and revealed it. Mystery, the term, points to the impossibility of man knowing the secret of God. It's a secret impossible for man to know until God spoke and revealed that secret. And Paul says in Ephesians 3 that this secret was hid in God. Here he calls it the hidden wisdom. The mystery was hidden, unattainable, undiscoverable until God revealed it. The mystery was something hidden, but now is fully revealed. The risen, glorified Lord revealed it fully to the Apostle Paul. And when the Lord spoke and revealed the mystery, he revealed a new dispensation of the grace of God. He revealed a gospel which had been unknown before. He revealed a new hope of heaven for believers. And by the mystery, we learn about the cross in all of its glory and its accomplishments. God had hidden this message and plan for the heavenlies from before the ages, ordained before the world began, unto our glory. But it was always a part of his overall plan. Before time began, God had foreordained this marvelous plan for his heavenlies, but he hid it until the time was right. It's important to note that the mystery wasn't plan B if plan A failed. Both God's program for Israel and his program for the body of Christ are plan A's. They're God's plans. They're good plans. God had a plan for the earth. God had a plan for the heavenlies. God's plan for Israel and his plan for the body of Christ, they're both glorious plans. But the mystery was something God had planned before the world unto our glory. And he's speaking to the body of Christ when Paul says that. The mystery is God's plan for us, the church, the body of Christ, unto our glory, for our blessing, our eternal excellence, our exaltation in the heavens. For all time and before time, God planned our eternal blessing and glory for believers in the dispensation of grace. And in the right time, he unfolded his mystery, and to the Apostle Paul, he revealed the mystery in the dispensation of grace, that Paul then might in turn reveal the mystery to the world. And he has through his epistles as well. And to demonstrate that this was hidden wisdom, a completely unknown message that God said nothing about before the Apostle Paul, Paul says that even none of the princes of this world knew. No one in this world knew about the mystery, and no one in the spiritual realm knew about it either. Satan and his demonic host had no idea about the mystery. They know the Bible backwards and forwards. They have had thousands of years to know about the mystery. But Satan and the demonic spirits in the heavenlies didn't know about the hidden wisdom of the mystery because it is not found. It is not revealed in the Old Testament. You can't find it there. Satan and his demons, who've been around a whole lot longer than we have for thousands of years, they couldn't find it because it's not there at all. To show this is true, they had no clue that helping to bring about Christ's death would result in their own destruction. Had they known about all that the cross would accomplish as revealed by the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The quotation in verse 9 is from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. Three faculties, eye, ear, and heart, by which we learn earthly things are listed. Paul uses this quote to demonstrate how God, by his own right as God, can hold back truth which he has prepared beforehand, unknown truth, which can't be seen by the eyes, heard by the ear, or enter the heart because it was never made known before. Now this verse is commonly interpreted to refer to the glories of heaven which none has seen or heard. Once you get a meaning lodged in your mind, it's often difficult to dislodge it and accept any other meaning. Because you see this verse at funerals, you read it in comfort cards, and it talks about the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But what Paul is talking about here is speaking about the truths that have been revealed for the first time in the revelation of the mystery to those who love him in this dispensation of the grace of God. The point by Paul is not to describe the future state of the saved. It's to show that believers who love the Lord under grace, he has revealed the formerly hidden wisdom of God, which makes known this glorious dispensation of grace and its heavenly position for the believer, which he prepared and ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 9 speaks of what God had not revealed and not shown and could never be seen, heard, or enter man's heart. But then in verse 9, after verse 9 and verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That which was unknown, which couldn't enter your heart or enter your ears or be seen with the eye, that which was unknown now is fully revealed, fully made known.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Romans is a hardcover 452-page verse-by-verse commentary written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. Paul's epistle to the Romans is one of the most profound, yet one of the most enlightening books of the Bible, indeed of all literature. Nowhere else in the Bible do we find the great doctrines of the Christian faith set forth so completely or systematically. Thus, we wholeheartedly agree with the statement, "The Book of Romans is the Bible within the Bible." To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Dr. Tony Evans writes this, "Most of us in our homes have dimmer switches. Dimmer switches are designed to progressively turn up the light." He says, the Holy Spirit is your dimmer. What he does is turn up the light so you can see the things you couldn't see before. We have to be in tune with him, though. His illumination won't necessarily come on with one flip of the switch. If you are open and listening, the dimmer works. Illumination sets in because over time the light gradually comes on as we study and spend time in the Word. 1 Corinthians 2:11-13 says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 11 shows how the Spirit, as God Himself, can reveal all things about God. The Spirit is infinite in wisdom and understands all the truths of God and is able to impart them and illuminate them to our lives. There is not anything in God that the Spirit does not know, does not always know, has not always known from eternity. This is not distant knowledge. This is not discovered knowledge. This is immediate knowledge. This is innate knowledge. He knows God's wisdom. He knows God's perfections and purposes fully because the Holy Spirit Himself is God. He knows the will of God because He is God, and He wills what the Father wills and what the Son wills. All this being true, He is able to teach us the deep things of God. Everything about God's person, character, nature, everything about the cross of God's Son and what it accomplished, and everything about the revelation of His Word and the revelation of the mystery. The mystery in the dispensation of grace was also the Spirit's plan and will as God. He can illuminate us to its truth fully within His Word. The Spirit is the author and teacher of the Word, and He can open our eyes to behold the wondrous things from God's Word, as Psalm 119:18 said. And in illuminating us to the deep things of God, the Spirit enlightens us also to the fact of how we still have to learn, how much we don't know, how much we still need to grow and mature in the Lord. Verse 12 shows how the Spirit enlightens us to the things that are freely given to us of God, verse 12 says. He does this because as God, He Himself has freely given these things to us. And in this dispensation of grace, it's all about the things freely given to us under grace, by grace, as a free gift. We have freely been given the Holy Spirit Himself, His Word we've been given, eternal life, redemption, the forgiveness of all of our sins, all spiritual blessings, a seated position in Christ in the heavenlies. He's freely given us His peace, His joy, His righteousness. Paul says, which things we also speak in verse 13. The Spirit enlightens us to all we have been freely given, and God wants us to freely speak it and share it with others. It reminds us of the Psalms, too, when he learned God's truth, that God wanted him to share that truth. And it's the same way with the truth of the mystery. We are God's mouthpiece. We are to speak about the things of the Word that the Spirit has enlightened us to speak about Christ and all He has done for us and all He has freely given and all He will freely give to anyone who believes the gospel of the grace of God. And as His mouthpiece, we do, as verse 7 says, what Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And when he says in verse 13, which things also we speak, that's what we are to speak, the same thing, the wisdom of God in a mystery. These verses show us that the truths that travel from our head go to our heart. They're to go there next, and then they're to go out through our mouths. Many times our heads fill and swell with knowledge, and it gets stuck there without going to the heart. Or it goes to the heart, but then it gets stuck there, and it doesn't go out through the mouth. It is God's will that we learn, we apply, and then we share the truths we know with others. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, as it says in verse 13, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Verse 13 also shows how the Spirit in His illumination teaches us by comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or scripture with scripture, or spiritual truths with spiritual truths in His Word. The Spirit helps us see things clearly. He helps us make spiritual connections. I'm sure we've all had that moment. And it happens at strange times when you don't expect it, when all of a sudden one verse connects with another, one truth connects with another. And that's the Holy Spirit in you, helping you, illuminating you, enlightening you to His Word. He's there to help us to grow and to teach us. He illuminates us to the Word to help us to see what it means and what it means to our lives and the changes God wants to make to our lives. Charles Swindoll writes, "The Holy Spirit takes the majestic truth of God and dispenses it just the way you need it. It is the Spirit's delight to take the truth of God and make one thing meaningful to that woman, something altogether different to that man, and something different again to that fellow down there." The Spirit knows our needs. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered when we pray, Romans 8 says, because He knows and He hears our hearts and emotions when we pray. He knows us. And in His enlightenment to His Word and His knowledge of us, He applies it to our lives individually in helping us, comforting us, giving us just what we need. The Spirit in His teaching ministry also teaches us about the Lord of glory, as verse 18 calls Him. He shows us how Christ is the Lord of glory today, carrying on a heavenly ministry in His glorified position as the head of the church, the body of Christ. God the Spirit in His ministry always points to God the Son. He lifts up and He magnifies Christ. And that's why the Word, which was authored by the Holy Spirit, is all about Christ. It bottom lines about Christ. It's all about Him. And so the Spirit, when we spend time in His Word, He increases our knowledge of Christ as we spend time in His Word, and He increases our knowledge of Christ so we might be more like Christ. The Bible's been called a hymn book. The Bible's all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being enlightened to the Word, we are enlightened into a deeper knowledge of Christ and being led toward being more like Him, and that's what transforms our lives. By illumination to a knowledge of the mystery in God's Word, our knowledge of Christ increases and deepens. Our relationship with Him goes deeper because we know what our Lord, the Lord of glory, is doing today. Psalm 119, verse 19 says, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." The psalmist's mind is so fixed in the Word, and he so lives by the Word, that he feels like a stranger in the earth. His thinking, his life is foreign from the world, so that he feels like a foreigner here, a stranger, out of place. And that's true for us too. This world is not our home. The wisdom of the Word is so vastly different from the thinking of this world, that when we live by the world, we often feel out of place. We feel like we don't belong here. We feel like we're a stranger here. And it works the other way too, because the world thinks we're strange too when we live by the Word. And like a person living in a foreign land who desires to keep up constant communication with their family for comfort, he asks God to not hide thy commandments from me, but to enlighten him to new, deeper truths about God and His Word, as God's Word, through God's Word, He speaks to us. In verse 20, you see that his soul and his heart nearly breaks and is crushed. His desire is so great to know God's Word at all times. It was an all-consuming passion. The psalmist is being oppressed in his life and had been facing reproach and slander. You see that in verses 21 and 22, undeservedly too, because he says the reason he'd been facing it was because he kept thy testimonies. Their reproach is unfounded and undeserved, and he asks God to remove it in verse 22 from his life. In verse 23, we see that princes and rulers were hurling insults at him, as rulers often do today, even against believers. But the psalmist didn't lash out. He doesn't become bitter. Rather, he turns to the Word and he says, "Thy servant did meditate on thy statutes," because that's where we find comfort and solace. God's word was his joy and delight, where he found wise counsel for his life when he says, yeah, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And when this is your counselor, this is the counsel of God Almighty, the all-wise, all-knowing God. And we have true counsel, good counsel for our life as we follow the word. Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32 says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. In verse 25, we see that he had been laid low by his oppression, stating that his soul cleaveth unto the dust. In verse 28, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. He was weighed down, overwhelmed by his circumstances, so he immediately turns to God in prayer and to his word for help, for restoration, for his spirit to be revived, for strength, and for life. In contrast to his soul cleaving to the dust in despair, the solution for bringing him up was cleaving to the word of God. I like how he says, I've stuck unto thy testimonies. That's a good thing to be stuck on, is the word of God. The word restores him before we leave the section. He's down in the dust in verse 25. And then 8 verses later, he's up and he's running. In verse 32, he says, I will run the way of thy commandments. He speaks of running and putting forth a full effort in the ways of the word. And he knows that the word changes his heart. He says, when he runs in the way of thy commandments, thou shalt enlarge my heart. The word enlarges our heart with joy, love, hope, and peace. And it's enlarged out of a concern for other people around us. And our heart gets bigger towards those around us and wanting what's best for them. We'll start running next time and picking up speed in Psalm 119. I hope you'll join us again.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.